Hi there, and welcome to Drunk History Presents The Dark Ride, a Disney Parks podcast hiding in a drinking game. Here we will talk about and rate all of your favorite and not-so-favorite rides and attractions. Maybe catch some interesting facts along with our buzz. My name is Ryan, and I'm here with my co-host Adrian. We are two diehard fans of the House of Mouse. We started this show because we know that cool people like this stuff too. So we're here to normalize all you adulting Disney files and have some beverages while we're at it. Now that that's out of the way, let's find out what resort we're going to be drinking responsibly this week. That's right, I'm doing a resort. So you know that it's the heaven and hell have switched places. and to answer that, we're going to the middle ground of heaven and hell, where we're walking through resort purgatory to find a place that is on property, off property, and propositioning me for a good time all at the same time. So we're going to a wonderful location nestled off the shores of Crescent Lake between Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios. You'll find this mishmash of 90s architectural splendor. That's right. It's Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Week. This duo of domiciles is part deluxe, part moderate, and part Marriott. Okay, well, we're going to grab some drinks and some over-the-top 90s drinks and some flashy geometric facts, and we're going to be right the fuck back. Hey, Ace, how are you?
Hi, Ryan. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, so, so good. Are you ready?
Are you happy to be hosting a hotel episode?
I'm a little bit nervous.
You seem like you, yeah. Just relax.
I feel like I'm shaking. I'm doing a little sweating. You've done so many wonderful resort covering so many wonderful resorts.
Thanks.
I wanted to throw my hat in the ring before we were done with them, which I think we're getting.
I think
we're getting close to the end. So,
if it's not, it's the penultimate. We're gonna find out.
Yeah. So, this is a '90s architectural masterpiece. So, I wanted to make sure that I got to cover it.
What year was this bad boy built?
Oh, we're going way back to the days of 1990.
It was literally 1990?
That's how it do. Yeah. At least the, both of them opened in the summer of 1990. June for the Dolphin and January for the Swan.
Okay. So because I remember, like, just... particularly my mom being very disgusted by these two buildings.
They are hit and miss for people. They are quite the
polarizing.
Very polarizing. Yeah. They're massive. They're ordained with or the ornament on them is these giant statues of swans or dolphins, depending on which one. It's really the only way that you can tell what one you're at is what giant statued hotel are you in?
I always think either the round one or the triangle.
Yep, sure. I stay in the triangle a lot.
I've only stayed in the triangle. Swan is always a little bit higher in price. Oh. I don't know why.
Well, it's fancier.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
That's not really true. They're both kind of the same. It's like the same. It's two sides of the same coin. We got a drink, right? Before we get too into this, we need drinks. And so I figured that today we're talking swans, we're talking dolphins, made me think Black Swan. And I found a drink and the opening song today is from the Swan Lake, right? So, so for Black Swan, we have the Twisted Swan, which is a tasty little cocktail that is one part aged tequila or tequila blanco you can use as well, half a part amaretto, and then 1.5 parts raspberry liqueur, like a Chambord or something. Yeah, it's tasty. So so this is a good one, and I highly recommend. Yeah, shake it up on ice and then pour it into a martini glass. You fancy. Don't drop it.
Don't drop it. It's like a little pool for your drink, the martini glass, right?
Yes, it's a little pool for my tears. As I finish too. It. As I finish it. As I finish my fourth, I'm probably filling it with tears. So let's cover some basics. The Swan and Dolphin Resorts are sort of like an official, unofficial Disney resort. They are owned and operated by Tishman Hotel Corp. I shouldn't say that. That's not really true. They're owned by Tishman and MetLife together, and then they're operated currently by Marriott.
Right.
So that's like kind of interesting. So originally, Mikey Eisner comes in, 1989. He's just opened MGM at the time. And he's like, oh, man, I really need to bring the convention hotel game to Disney. I'm losing too much revenue to these outside companies and their big hotels.
Sweet, sweet convention cash.
Oh, yeah. And Mikey Eisner, all about that convention cash. When I look at him, I think, like, this is a man who has been to a lot of conventions.
Yes, he loves conventions. He thrives on it.
Yeah.
When do you think that Michael Eisner, because this is something I predicted, and I'm very good at predicting trends. I think that Michael Eisner has been out long enough.
Oh, let him back. No.
I think he's becoming the new, like, he's looked at for in a very, like, perfect way now. It's been long enough where he's, like, he's getting to Walt Disney sort of, like, oh, like people say Mikey Eisner. It's a very romanticized.
We're forgetting the fact that he was, like, basically impeached out of office.
Yeah. It's like, and we forget a lot of things about Walt Disney because it's been so long and we just. He's a Saint Disney. I think Saint Eisner is next.
Yeah, I think that. I kind of agree with you. He's my, he's our generation's
president,
Walt, right? You know, he's like our generation's.
Yeah.
Walt.
Yeah. So,
like he was the one
that's what
on,
I'm saying.
He was the one that was on TV, you know, like introducing the specials and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, like I don't look at, Bobby Iger as like my guy, even though, like, you know, he's been good, you know, and like a lot of my favorite stuff has come under him. A lot of stuff that I don't like has also come under him. Same thing with Michael Eisner, if I was like to really like boil it down. But, you know, we got two parks under Michael Eisner. We got like almost all of these hotels, like all of this hotel expansion happened under him.
And let's not forget the golden age of Disney movie, the resurgence.
All the Disney Renaissance happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Iger has, like, looked at really good things to buy, right?
Yes.
Like, he's bought, like, a lot of really good things. But Michael Eisner invented a lot of really good things, a lot of really cool things.
And we love a dreamer.
Oh, yeah.
You always remember a dreamer as opposed to a doer.
Do you have any, like, favorite failures of Michael Eisner? Like, things that he tried to get going that, like, just, like, shit the bed?
What was that thing about Michael Eisner that, like, was he was responsible for that Roger Rabbit ride? No, okay. No, here's my favorite thing about Michael Eisner. I don't know if it's the worst of the best, but it's got to be the alien encounter.
Oh,
my
yeah.
Origin. So, like, that is such a class, like, it's just the Michael Eisner story of the time.
Yeah,
of
what him. Was his son's name was like Bryce or something. Oh, my son Bryce went to the park and he said everything sucks. Nobody wants to go there, so we got to make something cool.
He thought he had his finger on the pulse of what the next generation wanted out of their Disney parks, and I don't know. That's like that's just what I associate. Like, that sums him up for me.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite Eisner failure was probably like Disney Quest.
Oh,
you know, like they wanted to do Disney Quest all over the country. There was going to be 1,000 little Disney worlds in every mall in America.
They were franchising that bitch.
And then nothing. Same thing with like the Disney store. Like my mall growing up had a Disney store. Like I think like all of our malls had Disney
all
stores.
All of it.
And now there's like, you know, seven. And
I remember when the last one, it was only a couple of years ago, the last one went out by me. and me and my sister were just heartbroken. Oh, but they didn't have that 90s sort of Disney, like our childhood Disney store was such a
good
destination. Oh, yeah,
so good. The film strip that wraps around the entire store with the pictures. The plush mountain with the theater screen behind it. Oh,
yeah.
The best. The best. Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
We love you, Michael.
In memoriam.
He's not dead yet.
Oh.
He tries to I don't know why they didn't do it in-house. I have not found that in my research. Like why didn't Disney just build the hotels? Maybe they didn't have the capital at the time. You know, like they were like, oh, we just built this other resort. You know, it's got two rides and attractions, and it's got Indiana Jones, and it's got the Great Movie Ride, and that's it. Like it has nothing.
I think they went through a period where they were like, you know how we can make some money? Land leasing.
Yeah. So that's, you know, like, so that's exactly what they do, right? They lease to this giant contractor, an operations giant, a 99-year lease on the land. So they still have this going on, and will for, you know,
Another
like 70 years. So
yeah.
and they have the right to, you know, to own and operate I guess like convention hotels. So I don't know if they're allowed to like tear it down and do like a themed hotel or I'm not positive like what they are and aren't allowed to do. I'm sure there's like a whole, you know, giant contract list, and we didn't get into it for this because we're drunk.
Because we didn't, and it's boring. We're not a lawyer podcast. Yeah. We're not going over contracts. But the thing is like if you're in there, it's not. It doesn't feel like a Disney hotel.
It definitely feels different, right?
It definitely feels different. So I think there has to be some sort of rules about what they can they can't just make a themed hotel. There's no way.
Exactly. But I think that they are allowed to use like some characters in certain places and things like
They have like a store and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have like a, you know, like the concierge or like the Disney specific.
And you get the Disney transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All that stuff.
You get the boats, you know?
Yeah. We'll get into, you know, when we get to play the game. We're going to play a game today, Adrian. It's been so long since we played a game.
It's been a minute. It's been like almost like it was last year.
Almost like it was last year, yes. The dolphin and the swan share similar elements, but each has a distinctive appearance. The swan's main structure is a 12-story rectangle main structure gently arching across the top and two 7-story wings. On the swan side, the main structure is crowned with two 47-foot-tall swan statues.
47 feet?
47 feet, yeah.
Okay, that's way bigger than I thought.
Yes, totally. The building is like this mauvey pink color. Adorned with a turquoise waves.
Weird.
It just makes it look more and more 90s. And, like, it's got all, like, the punch-through windows. It's super 90s looking. It's the hotel that when you're driving around Disney property, you're like, what the fuck is that? That's the Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah, it's weird.
Meanwhile, the Dolphin is composed of a 257-foot triangular tower bisecting a 12-story rectangular mass with 9-story wings. And each of the roof has a 56-foot-tall dolphin statue that doesn't look like a dolphin at all. It looks like a weird fish standing on its head.
Right. It's supposedly like a different breed of dolphin, right? Like
inbred.
Everyone pictures like the the bottlenose dolphin.
Uh-huh.
They think of a dolphin, but there's and that's a specific sort of dolphin that looks like a fish.
No, it looks like it's an inbred dolphin.
Yeah, it looks bad. Why not just use a dolphin? I don't get it. Like a bottlenose, like we know.
Yeah, for sure. In 2008, they were both awarded a one-palm designation through the Florida Green Lodging Program. So it's like talking about environmental protection. So in 2008, they were already, you know, kind of on this green pursuit of hotels, which is really, you know, excellent. They're kind of... all hotels are kind of moving in that direction today. In fact, sure. Today I did an interview for some weird magazine somewhere talking about how hotels are going to go net zero in the next 20, 30 years and what the process is and things like that. So if you ever read Middle Eastern
and if you don't know what monthly, that's and if you don't know what net zero is, I don't know, Google it. Are you going to tell them what net zero means, Ryan?
Yeah, net zero is it's talking about like lowering the emissions of greenhouse gases to hopefully
zero.
Yeah,
got it.
In November of 2021, a new extension to the hotel was opened. It's called the Walt Disney World Swan Reserve. It is kind of located just glommed onto the it's next to the Swan across the street from the main hotel, and it contains 349 rooms and 151 suites. I don't know if it's – I don't think it's DVC, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, it can't be because it's not a Disney hotel.
Well, I wouldn't stop them.
It wouldn't, but there's no DVC there.
Yeah. Privileges. You get certain privileges when you stay here.
Perks.
And they're pretty good. I've stayed here a number of times, and yeah, pretty good, pretty good. So guests are provided with complimentary transportation to all Walt Disney World theme parks and attractions on the Disney Transportation System. This is via boat to Epcot and Hollywood Studios and via bus to Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. The length of stay park passes are available, as is package delivery from the theme parks to the resort. So you can, you know, like any other Disney resort, you can buy a, you know, buy a trinket and have it sent back to the hotel.
Nice.
There is a Walt Disney World guest services desk located in the lobby of either of the resorts. And you are able to use extra magic hours. You can make dining reservations 60 days prior, just like everybody else on property. The only thing you're really not allowed to do is like room charging. Like you don't get a magic band, you know, that you can like charge to, you know,
right.
Like charge with or whatever.
Right.
You can't charge like with your hotel key to, you have to do it separately.
And I'm sorry, but and I, if you're going to Magic Kingdom, is there a bus?
Yeah, there's a bus.
Okay. All right. I always forget if they like only provide transportation to Epcot and Hollywood Studios or if they have
no, for no, Magic. No. No, it's buses too.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And what else we got here? You're not able to do the Disney dining plan, which is I think coming back if it's not
yeah.
back already. Yeah. But you are able to like go into the Tables in Wonderland dining plan, which is
okay.
I guess like a you know some sort of like out of network.
It's like, yeah, whatever. It's an out of network dining plan.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Guests staying at the Swan and Dolphin have free theme park parking and priority access to the theme parks during sellout situations. I don't really know what that last part means, but I know what free parking means, and that's great.
That is really great.
What else you get? You can get advanced tee times on the four nearby championship Walt Disney World golf courses. You can get priority seating at select table service restaurants and dinner shows within Walt Disney World. That's kind of like all on a space available basis. So you can kind of get quite a bit, quite a big bang for your buck when you stay here, which is kind of like being on property, off property. It takes
it is,
all and the good parts of being on property, gives it to you.
You know, Disney taking away certain perks has even more leveled the playing field for Swan and Dolphin because you used to hear constantly – You know, I like Swan and Dolphin, but you don't get the Magical Express.
Exactly, but
bye-bye. And now it's like you can't get the – there's no such thing. So there's like some things that like it's very much now gets most of the perks of a regular hotel.
Exactly.
And it's great location.
Amazing location. And
yeah.
And like we'll get into the – you know, during – when we play Drink That Resort, which is coming up in just a sec, you know – the values, like, this is pretty good. Like, this is kind of like a deluxe, but priced like a moderate. So
yeah, and the fact that even though it's not a Disney hotel, it's on the boardwalk loop. So like, you walk three steps, and then you go to like the boardwalk's quick service, exactly. Or it's honestly, this one's gonna do well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's right next to, you know, I think
Boardwalk.
our highest.
No, I mean Beach Club.
It's right next to Beach Club and Boardwalk.
And Boardwalk's in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and you Best can walk. You can walk. You know, like when you're when you're leaving the Swan and Dolphin, if you go one direction, you go along Beach Club, and if you go the other direction, you go along Boardwalk. So
yeah, if you go to that you know, like that club.
Yep.
You walk right back to your hotel. What is that called? I forget what it's called.
It's
Dueling Pianos, and then the other one.
It's Jelly Rolls and Atlantic Beach Club.
Atlantic Beach, yeah.
Yeah, and they're both right there. I mean, like for nighttime, you know, like for nighttime entertainment, this is, you know, you're able to, I don't know if we're allowed to count it in our game, but like you can steal other resorts' shit real good in this one.
So. Oh, well, any of the hotels in that area benefit from the fact that you can go to any of them and use their shit. Exactly, so yeah, exactly. I'd say it's on the table.
Okay, cool. I like it. All right. So let's take a break and then we'll play a Drink That Resort.
Hey, let me ask you something, Ryan.
Yo.
Are we rubbing salt in the wounds of the Miami Dolphins by doing a Swan and Dolphin episode after they just lost to Taylor Swift? I mean, to the Chiefs? Like, are we really, like, this is wild. Sorry, Miami.
we're bringing them up when they were down. We're bringing them up when they were down. all right, we're going to play Drink That Resort. This is basically a Drink the Difference game where we're going to rank the resort through a series of rounds and drink the point difference that we give each category. For example, if a category is worth 5 points and you give that resort a 3 in that category, then you're going to be drinking two sips, 2 seconds, 2 shots, 2 gargles, 2 whatever you want to do.
Two hotels today.
Obviously, the shittier that the resort is, the drunker you're going to get. So play along at home. It's a lot of fun when you drink with us. So we've got 5 categories, right? 6 categories? 6 categories. We start with, and Adrian, if you wouldn't mind keeping score.
Okay.
We have 6 categories. They are overall theme, which is worth 10 points. We have size and proximity. That's worth 5 points. We have transportation. That's worth 5 points. Amenities, which is 5 points. Food and bev, 5 points. And then finally, the dark horse category, which we always have a dark horse category. Value, you know, are they doing it right? Are you willing to pay? Are you willing to throw out them shekels?
That's worth. Is all that stuff that he just mentioned worth the price?
Is it worth it? Then let me work it. It's out of 20 points.
Yes.
So we start at the start, and that is the theme. It's not the cue in this game. It's the theme.
This is probably the area this is going to do the worst.
Yeah, it's worth 10 points, and my notes in totality for the theme of this duo of domiciles, this two hotel megapolis, is Michael Graves' 1990s Wet Dream. That's all my notes say. you know, we've got big statues, we've got pretty pink and turquoise buildings,
and you use the word pretty. I wouldn't say that, but okay.
Well, pretty and pink, you know.
Oh, okay. It's not a pretty pink though.
And no, it's not. You're right. The lobby, everything's been redone here, like over the years. They have kept up with it, which is nice. But it's a little bit like, it's real Florida. It's like, it's real welcome to Florida, honey. What are you doing?
I don't feel welcomed. So this is where this is going to do bad. I don't look at that and feel compelled to go in it. The colors to me, like I've always, and I don't know why I've always associated it. I'd call those colors meat and marble. Like that's what those colors look like to me. Like a slab of ground round and some green marble countertops.
I kind of want us to make a new show called Meat and Marble.
Yeah. Those are not our nicknames, everyone. Our nicknames are Swan and Dolphin. I don't feel Florida when I think of Florida, I think of more like, I don't know, like it's just more like the Key West Hotel and like 90s Florida. I don't think of Florida when I see this. I think this is an anomaly. It's something I've never seen. I've never seen another hotel that looks like this. And this is the category where this is going to do very bad for me because I don't like the look of it from the outside.
Okay. Agreed. From the outside, it's polarizing for sure.
Yeah.
How about from the inside, like when you go through the lobbies and stuff like that?
Not for me.
Yeah. I like the lobby itself. Yeah. You know, it's got like this big bar in the middle of like a triple heighted space. It's really nice. But I don't like anywhere outside of that little circle. So like, you know, like if you were to go towards the elevators, like it's confusing and I don't like it. If you're to go towards like the where to get breakfast, I don't like it. The way to get down to the boats, you have to like go through like a weird escalator area that's like kind of hidden off of the lot. Like it's not easy to get along, to get around.
Of any place we've discussed, any resort we've discussed, this literally has no theme, and it shows what Disney does as they theme. And then when it's a land lease property, they don't theme.
Yeah.
Only theme would be what you said. And they weren't thinking when they built this, you know what we should do? 90s Florida.
Yeah.
That wasn't a cognitive thought.
No. It feels, you know, it feels like a hotel. It feels like a nice, like a, you know, relatively nice hotel.
Yeah. I mean, that grotto pool, the thing I love about this place is all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So how many points in this category?
This is out of 10 points.
I'm giving it a 1.
Oh, whoa. 1.
Theme? It's a 1. But there's no theme.
Oh, okay. I'm not going that low.
You don't have to.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
This is Adrian's feeling spicy today. I can tell.
There's no theme. You can't identify a theme.
It's true. I mean,
you're just going off of
Michael Graves is a theme. So like,
but that wasn't a thought.
No, well, that was a thought. I think that Michael Eisner wanted to make.
The theme is the architect that designed it.
Yeah. But I understand that that's a hard sell. I get it.
You would know that as an architect. That's a nerdy, geeky architect thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I did. I mean, like, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, that's a Michael Graves.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like 12.
You guys can't even see his eyes. His eyes just got wide as saucers. That's a Michael Graves.
It's true. Okay. So next up, we're doing size and proximity. This is a 5-point category. We're going to do like an average, right? So they have about an average of a 350 square foot room. Like that's the typical room for each of them. In the Walt Disney World Swan, there's 756 guest rooms. And I think I figured out why there's such a big price difference, because in the Dolphin, there's 1,514 guest rooms. So, over double the guest rooms, or just about double the guest rooms of the Swan are found in the Dolphin. And then in the Swan Reserve, there's 350 guest rooms along with a few suites, like we said before. So in total, the resort has about 2,619 guest rooms. So quite a few guest rooms. This is a Vegas.
It's a big
style.
Boy.
Vegas.
It's style. Big, but I don't feel like I never felt like I was traversing like I do at Animal Kingdom Lodge. You know, like Animal Kingdom Lodge, I feel like I'm walking a lot just if I'm all the way out and I got to come. This isn't terrible.
Yeah, I think, you know, because they're handled so separately, you know, if you're going into the Dolphin, like it has its own lobby, it has its own pool, it has its own this or that or whatever. And then the same thing for the Swan. It has its own, you know, each of these things, and it has its own restaurants. Like, you never have to go to the other hotel. The only time that you would really, like, meet is you meet in the middle to get on the Friendship boat, right?
Yep.
So that's really the only shared amenity is this, is the friend, is like the transportation, the Friendship boat. The buses, you would have your, you have your own bus stops too. So I think you share them the same way that that like they, I think they go, they go to both the Swan and the Dolphin, like in one swoop, you know, like you don't wait.
Yeah, it's just one, it's one bus. Yeah. It's just one boat dock.
Yeah. Yeah. And one bus loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, proximity wise though, you know, we're walking distance to, Hollywood Studios. We're walking distance to Epcot. We're walking distance to nightlife at the Boardwalk and Beach Club and a ton of restaurants. So proximity wise, it's pretty solid. And size wise, you know, pretty substantial, but doesn't feel overwhelming. So I think it does pretty good here. I'm going to start us off with a 4.
I'm going to give it a 5.
All right.
I think it's, I mean, it is better. It has a 10 times better location than actual Disney hotels. It's better location than, like, even deluxe ones, like Old Key West.
Yep.
I mean, it's got more proximity than even actual Disney hotels that are considered the best, some of the best hotels. So, you're for staying at a non-Disney hotel, this is the absolute closest you can get without being a Disney hotel.
Totally, totally. Transportation-wise, you know, everything that we just talked about, we have boat access. We're right on Crescent Lake. So it's the same boats that are going to the Boardwalk and to the Yacht and Beach Club. They're just kind of like making this loop over and over and over again. We have access to the Skyliner with a little bit of a quick walk. We have access to the buses and to just walk around or whatever. It's located, you know, about 20 minutes from MCO, just like everything else in there, and 15 minutes from the convention center, 25 minutes from Amtrak. Disney fucked that one up. yes, yeah, so, I mean, like, transportation-wise, you know, pretty solid. Again, I'm going to give this, I think here this is a 5 for me, because I don't know that you can get really any better if, unless there was a monorail, I guess, but.
I mean, yeah, I think it has to get the 5 because it has boat access to two parks and it's walking distance to two parks. Like, there's no, you know, it's a 4 or 5, but because it's a non-Disney hotel and you get all that stuff, I say it's a 5.
Yeah. And, you know, walking, people are like, I would never walk, it's so far or whatever, but like, whenever I've stayed here, I've walked more times because it just wasn't worth the line to wait for the boats or whatever, you know? I've walked more times than I have not.
Sure.
And it's really not that far. It's like maybe a quarter mile to either or from this one.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Next up is amenities. You know, there's a ton of amenities within like the two hotels. So I'm covering them as like one, right? And, and I don't know if I'm going to cover everything, you know? So, it has 2 lap pools, 1 grotto pool with a water slide and a waterfall. You can order drinks at the pools through a cabana bar. Guests have access to an on-site spa, an arcade, a daycare program, multiple Disney gift shops. Total pools are, there's 6 total pools, including the Swan Reserve. There's jogging trails. There's three health clubs. There's paddle boat rentals. There's a beachside playground.
Yep.
I think that about covers it. And I don't know that I want all that much more. I mean, I guess some of the Disney specific things that they don't have are like the nighttime movies in the park, right?
They don't right. do that. But they do have a channel there that I really love. I've mentioned this a couple times on the pod because I was there during Christmas time at that time. They have a movie channel that is just constant movies that are back to back that are all good and there's no commercials and you can just like watch like movies constantly and it's great. I love it.
Nice.
There's not Movies Under the Stars, but it's a channel that they have because you don't get like that the Disney sort of thing that everyone loves when they come in their room and it's, you know, the WDW today. So I like that they have
a movie show. I do love that. Yeah, I do love that.
Yeah, I think that, so the amenity, this is a 5-point category?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that they don't get 100% of all the other Disney things. This would be a 5 for me, but because there are some Disney things, like they don't have magic bands, they don't, you know, like you don't do anything through My Disney Experience. Those are all amenities that you get at every other Disney hotel. You don't get it here. So I'm going to give it a 4 here, but that's the only reason why is because it unfairly can't get those things.
Yep, agreed. But, and I'm right there with you. Same score. So I'm a 4 okay. going into that. Food and beverage. Again, this is similar to the amenities. I'm treating it as one. There's 23 restaurants and lounges amongst the properties. So there's a fucking ton.
Yeah.
This includes 2 celebrity restaurants, Shula Steakhouse and Todd English's Blue Zoo. I went out last weekend and I got blue zooed. both venues are operated by the resort in operational collaboration with the celebrity personality. At Shula Steakhouse, you can enjoy the great food at the Critics' Choice for Orlando's best high-end steakhouse and multiple recipient of Wine Spectator's Award of Excellence.
Okay.
And then at Todd English's Blue Zoo, internationally acclaimed chef Todd English combines the freshest seafood with coastal cuisines from around the world, a setting you won't soon forget. they also have a New York Italian restaurant, an authentic Japanese sushi bar, a Mexican classic type of restaurant. Casual but upscale Mediterranean.
They have a diner that's a ice cream. They have that's the thing. I forget the name of it, but I love it. It's like a diner style restaurant. It's like hamburgers and that type of stuff, but they have like really good ice cream also. You know what that one is?
So like similar to Peaches and Cream?
Yeah, it's their version of that.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm not positive which one it is.
But also, Beaches and Cream is a few steps away.
So. Yeah, a few steps away. You have Beaches and Cream. You have Jelly Rolls. You have Abracadabar. You've got that pizza
Yachtsman
place.
Steakhouse. Yeah, I mean, you've got everything.
Yeah. So I mean, and you know, yeah, it's killing it. It's killing it that way. So I'm gonna give this one a 5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5 also because I even like their little like quick service food court and I have fun memories of being drunk there with my sister and my best friend. So
nice.
Points for that.
And I do feel like I've gone to the bar here, like the lobby bar, which is actually like a really good bar in the lobby. Mm-hmm. Like it's like it has good cocktails.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, it's cool that like people were drinking in the lobby. Like,
yeah,
like it's cool to drink here. Where if you go to the other lobbies, you know, you go to All-Star Sports and drink in the lobby, people look at you funny.
yeah. There, I mean, I think any hotel that's not like a Disney hotel, it's normal to be at like the lobby bar. But in a Disney hotel, you feel a little, I don't know. Yeah, people look at you.
For sure, for sure. Okay, next up is our final category.
You want to hear where we're at?
Yeah, let's see where we're at.
So out of 30 possible points, Ryan, you've given it 23. And out of 30 points, I've given it 20.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We're at overall value. I wasn't able to get like as much information as
I
thought that I would be able to get because there's such a swing
of pricing here.
So what I found is from $211 a night to $1,063 a night. With an average price of, I got a couple different numbers, but $447. I found $447, and then I found one that was like a little bit lower at like $415 or something like that. Two different sites saying two different things.
I usually see it around $275 to $350, I would say, is the pricing that I tend to see. Mm.
So,
and when it's $275, that's, you jump on that.
Yeah, for sure. So if you can imagine spending just over value pricing for an All-Stars, to be it here,
mm-hmm.
that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, the thing here is that you have to keep in mind, and when you, go to book your room at a Disney hotel, you're paying whatever the price is plus tax. When you're here, you do pay like a nightly resort fee. Mm. So like whatever the thing is, there's like $30 tacked on to that or something, and then tax. So that always trips me up. Like when I see the number, I always like mentally add like $30 to it because I know it's going to be a little bit more than whatever that number is. But another thing is, though, if you are a Marriott rewards member, you could use points.
Bring
to
on
go
the points.
You don't even need to. That's their version of DVC. Is you can use your Marriott rewards points and stay for free.
It looks like they charge an additional $35 per night per person, plus taxes for the third, fourth, and fifth adult. So basically, if you're there as a couple, it's $70 extra per night, and then just taxes for the third, fourth, and fifth adult.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just something to keep in mind. It's not whatever price you're seeing. It's whatever price you're seeing plus $35 at least.
And then I read a different one that says that it's $40 for
it's somewhere for around
daily,
there. Maybe
daily benefit for two guests. So who the fuck knows?
But there's just a little bit extra. It's not the whatever
it's,
the big
it's price. Not cut and dry as the number that's going to be here. So.
That's the same thing that happens if you stay at any of those Disney Springs area resorts too, is like the prices can seem a little bit lower staying at like that B hotel or any of them, but there's a nightly resort fee. So you got to remember that.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you think, what are you going to come in at for overall value?
I mean, to have all of those amenities, all the transportation options, all the, restaurants and nightlife, and there's times where you can I've stayed there for $270 a night, like, and also we didn't even really go into it with that grotto pool. That is a lot of fun, that pool. I've been there, I was a couple times over the last couple of years, and the drinking there, it's a lot of fun. It's a very cool pool. It's, and you just have fun just being there drinking.
It's much better themed than the rest of the hotel.
Yeah, it's a beautiful pool. It doesn't make any sense of what it is in context to anything else, but it's a beautiful pool.
Yeah.
So I think the value of that is really good. And I gave it a 20 technically because I don't think thematically it is a, I think it's a nothing burger, but I think the value for all the other stuff is way more than you get at moderates and values. So I'm going to give it a 20. It's 20 points here. I'm going to give it a 17.
Yeah. I'm very close with you. I, I think that the only thing I'd take it down for value-wise is the fact that there's like these hidden upcharges. But if you go into it knowing what those are, and there are sites that you can go into it like paying that shit up front. And if you think of it as like that's the parking fee, you know, then it kind of starts to even out. So I'm going to give it an 18, 18 out of 20.
Okay. Wow.
There's also like not all rooms are created equally here, but like some of these rooms have the best view of the fireworks that are on property, period. Like better than any other of the other hotels.
Yeah, I remember staying there and just like literally having a view of Tower of Terror from my bed every single night and being like, wow, I mean, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. All right, so out of 50 total points, this resort did very well. I gave it a 37 out of 50. You gave it a 41 out of 50.
Wow, 41. So broke the 40.
Yeah, so that means that the average is 39.5, but ooh, tie goes to...
That puts it with our upper contenders.
Yeah.
You know, I think as we said, like we are kind of like running low on resorts to if we might have covered them all. We have to look through the fine print. But we'll have to do a review show where we talk about all these resorts and like where we thought they were and what surprises happened and things like that. So,
So do you have the scores of the other ones? Like where it kind of falls?
I mean, no, not it.
Sorry, Ryan, this is actually not 39.5. It's a 39. I miscalculated the average.
Okay. 39 still solid.
Yeah. I think it is up there. Cause I know a lot of the other ones have been, low 20s, and then some are in the 30s, but yeah, this is high and I think it deserves it. And I'm really proud of it. And,
we're really proud of you.
Here's the thing, weird looking hotel. It's you are the definition of don't judge a book by its cover.
Damn straight.
You know, it's there's beauty underneath that mess.
I love it. The Dark Ride is presented by Drunk Distry and is available every Wednesday on Apple, Spotify, wherever else you're getting your podcasts these days. The show is free, but you can always pay us by simply liking and subscribing, giving us a 5-star rating and a quick review, or just by telling a fellow theme parks loving friend to listen in. If you don't tell them, they're not going to know. Oh, they're not going to know. Email us questions or shout outs at drunkdistry@gmail.com. And please follow us on our socials, on Instagram at the Dark Ride Podcast and on TikTok at Drunk Distry for tons of great theme parks content. Thanks for us, guys. Thanks for listening to us, guys.
Always keep your
kingdom cool.
You got it. Oh my god, 다 이미 좀 얄미워. 어우 내 같은 날 마주쳐. 이게 뭐야? 머리 난 엉망인데 다 상태가 말이 아니야 모른 척. 지나가죠. 내 맘이 방심할 때마다 불쌍.